So Thomas is with his friend Bob at the local bar. And Thomas says to Bob, "You know, I haven't spoken to my wife Lisa in 18 months. And Bob is shocked by this. 18 months? Why? Thomas takes a sip of his beer, and then he replies, "Because I don't like to interrupt her." Why haven't I spoken to her, interrupt her? Is this on? Today's three lessons from Holy Scripture also have several interruptions for your life and mine. And frankly, you and I may not particularly like them. Starting with the first reading, or first lesson from the book of Joshua. Diving back in time like an eagle, 3,000 years, brings us to a pool of sand and a great desert in the Promised Land in the Middle East. Moses has died. Joshua, his faithful lieutenant, has succeeded him. Now, the Israelites have not exactly had a rip-roaring time in the desert, have they? They have proven themselves to be spiritually fickle, fleeing God's commandments faster than you can spell golden calf. G-O-L. But Joshua's words are weighty. Weighty words. Whipping across a continent, across an ocean, across three millennia, 3,000 years, to your ears and mine. Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Being human requires choices. You may have noticed that by now. And being a Christian, especially if you're striving to be a disciple and not just a churchgoer, requires choices. Some very difficult choices at times. And one of the most fundamental choices of the spiritual life of being human is, who will you serve? Who will you serve? Loudly repeat after me, who will you serve?
Who will you serve?
That was like not very loud, but we'll take it for now. If you have chosen Christ, raise your hand. Okay, a lot of hands went up. But if you haven't chosen Christ, consider the claims of Christ, or reconsider them here at St. John's, where we say that doubts are okay, questions are welcome, and please, come as you are. But let's say you do say, along with Joshua, and millions after him,
"As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord."
Well, what do I say to that? Fantastic! Turn to your neighbor and say, "Fantastic." Do it again, but more enthusiastically.
Yes.
There we go. So welcome aboard. Join the party. Step with the saints. Dance with the disciples. Eat with the Episcopalians. Ludicrous with the Lutherans. And most fun of all, dodge flaming arrows. That brings us to our second reading from the book of Ephesians. This takes us on a short flight from the Middle East to Greece, but we have to fast forward 2,000 years to the first century. And we find ourselves in Ephesus, which is currently in modern-day Turkey. And in the letter to the Ephesian Christians are warned that if they choose to serve the Lord, or as they serve the Lord, they will encounter opposition. It will not be easy. People will tell them, "Why are you going to church? Why do you believe in these strange things? Why are you trying to live your life in that way? Forget about that stuff." And this opposition, these flaming arrows, will come from human sources. Human sources. But according to the letter, they may sometimes come from other sources. Ephesians 6, verse 16. Take the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one.
Evil one?
Flaming arrows? Sounds kind of heavy.
So let's pause for another joke. It can't be as bad as the one I started with.
Maybe. So a father and son are out in the front yard, and they're playing catch. And the dad says,
"Can I see your report card, son? I heard they were giving out today."
"I don't have it."
"Why not?"
"I gave it to a friend. He wanted to scare his parents."
Now,
to review,
not to scare you,
not to scare you, but to review,
once you have made that fundamental choice of the spiritual life, that choice of being human, to serve the Lord, make a little parenthesis here. By the way, you don't have to make that choice to serve the Lord, to choose Christ, many times in our lives. It's not just a one-time thing. You have to choose that many times. But once you have made that choice to serve the Lord, then you can expect opposition. Flaming arrows. So, you and I really should not be that surprised when we receive pushback from other people, family, friends, others, about our faith. So you and I really shouldn't be surprised when the wider society or the world around us ignores the faith or puts down the faith or acts in total opposition to the teachings of Jesus. That really shouldn't surprise us. In fact, for a lot of Christianity's history, in many times and places, it has been a countercultural movement, a fringe movement. And this reality is coming back to us in North America. You're not used to it, but that's what's happening to us. Now, most of you have put your thinking caps on already, but for those of you who haven't, I want you to put your thinking caps on and help me do some spiritual math. Okay, so think about this equation. If society is no longer pushing people to attend church or to attend to the Almighty, and if Jesus and the first disciples had a very rough go of it, punch the numbers. What does that mean for us? What does that equal for us? That means we should not be surprised when our own lives of faith are challenging. Right? If they had a rough time, if society is going in a different direction, we should not be surprised when we have a hard time living out our lives of faith. We should not be surprised there's a challenge to be a Christian congregation in this increasingly secular society. So, what follows from that is, if it's going to be increasingly harder to be a Christian as the years go on, which very well may be the case, there'll be more opposition, what will you do to strengthen your choice to serve the Lord? What will you do so that you can better endure the opposition? And this brings us to our third reading from our own St. John. This involves just a little jump of a flight and just going back in time just a few years from post-resurrection times in Ephesus to before the resurrection in Israel, when Jesus is still walking the earth. And here's what Jesus says. "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Abide in me, and I abide in them." To sustain your choice, to endure the opposition, abide in Christ. And what is one way has been tested
for 2,000 years
and attested to and recommended by saints and sinners alike
for abiding in Christ?
To eat the body and to drink the blood. To receive Christ in the Eucharist. As Lord Rowan Williams said, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, quote,
"In Holy Communion, Jesus Christ tells us he wants our company." End of quote.
And even more, in the Eucharist, Jesus keeps company with us, and we keep company with each other. You cannot fully serve the Lord by yourself. Cannot. And you cannot fully resist the opposition by yourself. Cannot. The Eucharist is the church's ever miracle, always reminding you and me that we are part of a spiritual family that serves the Lord together, resists the opposition of the faith together, and abides in Jesus Christ together. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
All right. So come to this altar in faith. Whether your faith is robust and resounding, or whether your faith is floundering and fading. Here you will find strength for your choice to serve the Lord. Here you will find power to endure the opposition. Here you will find Christ. Here you will find Christ's people. When your life is broken and all seems lost, here you can be comforted by God. When your life is just a malaise and seems aimless and ho-hum and who cares, come to this altar. You receive direction from God. And when your life is a conflict and is in chaos, come to this altar and receive peace from God. And when all is going well in your life, come to this altar to give thanks to God. Come to praise. Come to worship. Come to confess. Come to love. Come to be loved. Come to be among Christ's people. Come and receive strength for your choice to serve the Lord. Come and receive power to endure in your faith in the Lord. Come and be connected with God's people. Come to this altar and abide in Christ. Amen.